Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay in the back? Okay, very good. Let me start by introducing myself. My name is Bart Stevens. I'm a research agronomist with the USDA ARS in Sydney, Montana. And I have to start with a disclaimer. I am a substitute. Dr. Sainju overbooked himself and asked me if I would present today in his place. And I also want to recognize my co-authors, in particular, Dr. Andy Lenson, and I think I see Andy in the back. Yes. Andy designed this study when he was working with us in Sydney, Montana, before moving to Iowa State University, and Dr. Sainju has added some good information from this study in terms of nitrogen balance as well. So, Andy, please speak up if I say anything wrong here. I'd also like to acknowledge Dr. Brett Allen, who is a research agronomist that I work with as well, my colleague who works primarily with dryland cropping systems. And, of course, Dr. Jay Jabro as well. So a little bit of background about this study. We are looking at the effect of crop rotation and cultural practices in our dryland cropping systems in northeast Montana. Now, northeast Montana is an area where there's a lot of dryland crop production, primarily spring wheat, and traditionally that has been alternated with fallow. Our annual precipitation is about 350 millimeters per year, and a majority of that comes in the months of May through July. So that is kind of a little bit of information about our cropping systems. Of course, we would like to kind of get away from the fallow system, and so one alternative is to implement a continuous cropping, monocropping system. And in this part of Montana, northeast Montana, durum wheat is a predominant cash crop. A continuous cropping system, however, lacks diversity, and we would like to have a little bit better diversity in that cropping system. So another alternative is to include some alternative crops in that system. One alternative is to alternate durum and the alternative crop every other year. So durum occurs every other year. Another alternative is to take a stacked rotation approach. In other words, grow 2 years of durum consecutively, and then 2 years of an alternative crop or an alternative type crop for another 2 years. And that would help us maybe manage our weeds a little bit better. So kind of overall, this study was designed to look at ways to more ecologically control our weeds. One approach is to use the stacked rotation rather than an alternate year rotation. And another approach I'll explain a little bit more when I get to the methods part of our study. So Upendra's objective was to look at the effects of these different cultural practices and rotations on the nitrogen balance in these systems. Of course, in this part of Montana, water is our main limiting factor in terms of crop production, but nitrogen is a limiting factor as well, and the major nutrient applied to our cropping systems, of course, as is the case in most cropping systems. And, of course, we want to manage that nitrogen carefully. Excessive inputs can cause problems both environmentally and in terms of soil quality and crop quality for reasons that are listed here. And so we want to try to manage that nitrogen system as well as possible. So Upendra wanted to take an end balance approach and evaluate these systems to see how well we were doing in terms of matching our inputs to our end outputs. So he has listed here a number of the mechanisms by which nitrogen can be removed. Previous slide, he mentioned some of the input mechanisms as well. And he mentions here that the nitrogen balance provides an account of inputs, outputs, and retention in the soil, and is a measure of the agroecosystem performance and sustainability. And we would like to have a little bit more information, again, for our cropping area and our cropping systems. So our objectives were to quantify the inflows in crops, soil, and in the environment in response to these rotations and cultural practices over the 7 years of this study, and to calculate the end balance based on input and inputs, outputs, and changes in soil and storage. And then kind of try to evaluate these systems compared to each other in terms of their end use and environmental impacts. So a little bit about how we did this. The crop rotations, again, based on durum wheat. We had two different stacked rotations with 2 years of durum grown consecutively, followed by two broadleaf crops. In the first rotation, canola and pea. And in the second rotation, flax instead of canola. So both of those rotations include an annual legume as the pea crop. So in comparison to that, the alternate year rotations, same crops, just in an alternate year sequence instead of the stacked sequence. And then as kind of a control, a continuous monocropping of durum wheat. In terms of cultural practices, we had what we termed our traditional practices, conventional tillage, and the seeding rate that is typically recommended for our area and our climate zone, broadcast and fertilization, and kind of a normal height for the stubble, which we'll refer to as the reduced stubble height. Now, the ecological cultural practice system, again, was designed to provide a little better competition for the weeds so that we could more ecologically control the weeds in these systems. So a no-till system, increased seeding rate, banded in, and increased stubble height. So those are our rotations and cultural practices. And we were located near the town of Freud, Montana, again in northeast Montana. So this gives you a little bit of information about those specifics of those treatments. Along this side of the table here are indicated the specific crops. And here's the traditional cultural practice versus ecological for each of those crops. And the tillage system, seeding rate, infertilization rate, method of infertilization, P and K, which is the same for all treatments, and then the stubble height. So let's get into a little bit about how the nitrogen balance was calculated. Total N inputs included biological N fixation. Excuse me, I skipped the N fertilization rate on the top. N fertilization rate, biological N fixation, which was estimated based on the biomass production of the pea crop, assuming that 70% of the N, the biomass N in that pea crop, came from N fixation. And then also assuming that 33% of the above ground biomass, excuse me, let me restate that. The below ground biomass was estimated to be about 33% of the above ground biomass. Okay. So, a total N outputs. Crop grain N removal, of course, ammonia volatilization loss, denitrification N loss during plant senescence, and N leaching losses, gaseous N losses, and N loss from surface runoff. I will mention that the majority of these are difficult and time-consuming to measure, and so we relied on estimates from the literature based on crops in our area and our climate to estimate these numbers. In order to account for changes in soil N, total soil N, we estimated what we call the N sequestration rate, which was basically calculated by doing a linear regression on the change of total soil N over the study period. So that leaves us with the equation for N balance, total inputs minus the N outputs minus the N sequestration rate. And I believe that my understanding of this equation is that this will help us estimate how well we are accounting for the N in these systems. So ideally, that balance would be zero, indicating that we estimated the inputs and outputs correctly. So let's take a look at the two different cultural practice systems. This data is for the traditional practice system, and across the top we have the five different rotations, continuous durum, durum, canola, durum, pea, and the stacked rotation, durum, durum, canola, pea, and then those same rotations with flax instead of canola. And so just looking at some of these numbers, these that do not have statistical analysis indicated are the numbers that were estimated. And you'll notice that our N fertilization rate, where P was in the rotation, of course, is lower than where we had the monocropping because of the N fixation rate, or the N fixation provided by the P. So here's our total N inputs, greater in the rotations, including the annual legume as compared to the continuous durum. And the grain N removal, little bit higher in these rotation systems than in the durum system. And then our total N outputs then were fairly similar across all of those treatments, maybe a little bit higher in some of those diversified rotations. So let me just direct your attention down to the bottom line here. This is the N balance number. And you'll see that for the rotations, all four of the diversified rotations, the numbers are pretty similar, a little bit above zero, indicating that that maybe we have a little bit less loss there than we had expected. Whereas we're negative with the continuous durum rotation, suggesting that we have greater losses than what we expected. Now we can go over this slide very quickly. This is the ecological practice, very similar to, if not essentially the same, as the traditional practice. Again, numbers down here, very similar. So let me just go over our conclusions quickly. I'm going to jump around here a little bit. First of all, we did not see any difference in the cultural practices in terms of the N balance, nor did we see any difference in the stacked versus alternate year rotations. The main difference we saw was in comparing the diversified rotations that have the annual legume compared to the monocropping system, suggesting that we had a little greater loss in the monocropping system than what we'd expected. So as a result, diversified crop rotations with legumes, non-legumes and oilseed crops in the rotation can be productive, environmentally sustainable, and rely less on external N inputs compared to the non-legume monocropping system. And that is all that I have. I thank you for your attention. I don't know if we have any time for questions. Let me see if I could hear the question okay. You're asking about in the ecological system if we have any trouble doing no-till because of the increased stubble.
Because
of the soil temperature, essentially, and problems that might arise from that with seedling emergence and establishment. No, I don't believe that that we have saw any indications that there was a problem there. As a matter of fact, no-till is becoming a very much the standard practice in our area as well. Andy, do you have anything to add?
Not really.
Okay. Soil temperature because of the no-till. Is cooler soils in no-till systems any concern for us in a, in that part of Montana?
Not very often.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.